Our God is with you.
And also with you.
This is the good news according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain. And after he sat down with his disciples and they came to him, he began to teach them a way of life. He did this by saying, "Happy are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Happy are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Happy are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Happy are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Happy are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And blessed are you when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, and for theirs and yours is the kingdom of heaven. Happy are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great." My brothers and sisters, this is the good news of Jesus.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lillian, for bringing that up about Zephaniah, because sometimes we think we're the only ones that had it difficult. And difficulty, it helps us see the contrast. And sometimes we don't see the contrast until it gets right in front of our eyes. Amen? Now, this Sunday, y'all just heard about the Beatitudes. And that's what Jesus taught. He did not teach the Ten Commandments.
Amen.
When he was asked about that, he said, "There's just two. Love God with your whole heart, your whole mind, soul. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself." Those are what he taught. And this Sunday, since it is, and since we are the Living Beatitudes community, we're going to focus on this today and then Ash Wednesday and our Recollection Night in Lent, and to take a deeper look. I'm going to cover the surface a little bit today. The Beatitudes, as Joan Chittister says, they're not ethereal prayers of supplication. In other words, they're not meant to be otherworldly. They're meant to be a practical prayer today. And for sure, the Beatitudes are very countercultural, because they call us to living justly, to being compassionate, and to have a happy life in this present world. I go, man, is that even possible sometimes? So what Joan says is that she says they're a template for a good life that transcends religious differences and forms of constitutions building on the common good. And isn't that what Jesus did in his whole life? Who did he hang with? The sick, the outcasts, the Samaritans, the soldiers who were Roman, were very, very pagan, with lepers. He transcended all boundaries, building for the common good. You know, and it's no wonder that his family rejected him. We hear it in Mark 3. They came to take him away. They thought he was crazy. Matthew says the same thing. Luke says the same thing. In John's Gospel, three places, it says they don't believe in him. Because he was saying some crazy stuff. And sometimes it's hard for us to hear, too. He was teaching a new way of living that isn't easy, but it does lead for happiness and for the common good. It is a blueprint for action, and not just hope. She emphasizes that Jesus is offering a way for us to move forward and not to look for a reward down the road. You know what I mean? Oh, I'm going to do this so I get to heaven. That's not what it's about. He wanted us to take a look at here and the now. That's what he was about. We are all of us, we're believers and followers of Jesus. We need to hear these eight ways of living our lives, this blueprint. It's why I really am happy and really supportive when I hear Archbishop Timmy, and I really struggle pronouncing his last name, Bruglio. He's over the enlisted members. He's a Catholic Archbishop, Cardinal. And he is saying that the Catholic troops, on a basis of faith, do not need to listen to to take the orders if they go into Greenland. He goes on to say that the Venezuelan ships that have been bombed, that is not with our teaching, and they are immoral. He calls that out. He's challenging the faith of the military people. He's also challenging our faith. He's challenging the faith of this country. Who are you following? Are you following Jesus? That's why I'm really proud of that amid all these ice clashes, the New Hampshire Episcopal Bishop urged his, listen, he urged his clergy, get your wills ready. Because what he's saying, it's time for us to stand up for our faith. And that may mean that our lives are put on the line. Now, he got a lot of flack from it, but he stood up because he says, this is what we need to be about. He also challenged much of what's happening in our country, because it's not what Jesus was teaching. Cardinal Joseph Tobin, he said, we need to mourn for the world, for our country, that allows a five-year-old boy to be legally kidnapped and protesters to be slaughtered, and say, we need to be able to say, that's not moral. That's not the way of living Jesus. Now, y'all have heard Bob Butt say that we're really the living with attitude community. I don't know if he taught Joan Chittister that or she taught him, but I think Bob said it first. She says that the Beatitudes are an attitude towards life. She states that they're really the eight attitudes of life. And she advocates for us to listen to them as ways that we can challenge power and toxic individualism. Yeah. Following Jesus is not about being the Lone Ranger, of being out there, this individual stuff. It's about being one with community. Now, I'm not putting down the American way. I'm just saying that individualism isn't what Jesus taught. That's not the way he lived. He lived that we were all one, and we needed to care for each other. So, if all that's true, how important do you think the eight attitudes are? Pretty important. How many can name them? I can't either. But that's a challenge for me to learn to know how to name them. Because they are really the thing that Jesus was saying, the way we got to live. So I want to go through this a little bit. If you heard me, you know, I didn't say blessed are the, because one of the better translations is happy are they. Happy are they. It's a focus in that it's not a transactional relationship. I'm going to do this so I get heaven. I'm going to do this for you. Now you got to do this for me. Does that sound familiar for our world right now? And that's why it's very countercultural that we're talking about. If that's the way we understand it, that's okay. But don't say you follow Jesus, because that's not what he did. I think we put it in today's words that the eight attitudes really might be a social adjustment movement, that where people form small communities, is this is Joan Chittister speaking, dedicated to action and resistance, reimagining church that focuses on justice seekers, peacemakers, and change makers. So let's take a look at that, the Beatitudes. Happier the poor in spirit. Briefly, what that means is letting go of our ego, letting go of our privilege. We got a lot of privilege that we stand. We need to let go of that and understand that we're one with each other. We need to stop judging each other. We need to stop judging the other side. I just judged them, the other side. We need to stop that because the reality is we're all one. And until we begin to see that, that's why this is so hard and so challenging. It's the contrast that we want to draw and say, hey, is this what we need to be about? Happy are those who mourn. Can we speak out that we have grief in the face of war? Grief in the face of climate collapse, of social injustice? These should be catalyst for action for a better world. Now, it wasn't until really our generation that Kubler-Ross talked about grief and what grief was. And grief has five steps. Denial's one of them. How many times in our society, even me, we all, do we deny what's happened right around us? The injustice that's happened. We deny that it's there. That's part of the grief process because I don't want to believe that. But I need to bring myself to awareness. And then I begin to get angry. And the focus of anger is that a need's not being met. What's the need that I need to see? It's about being nonviolent when I approach this. It's about I need to live in forgiveness. I need to seek understanding about the other side to see what their need is as I work with that. Sometimes it's out of fear that all of us react out of. But I need to deal with that anger that's in me. The next part is bargaining. You know how we half-step? It's you know, negotiating what our spirituality is going to be. I'm going to accept this, but I'm not going to accept that. And Jesus is saying, we got to accept it all. I need to be honest what I need to and what I can do. It's not a guilt trip. You want to see something fantastic? In a very short time, look at all that stuff back there. All that stuff on the table. People brought in today. And isn't that awesome?
Amen.
Because that is putting it into action in what we're about. But then, you know, we get depressed. I've heard so many people say, I can't watch TV anymore. It's a depression that feeds us. We feel the loss, that there's no hope. And yet, what we need to focus on is we need to move through it. Admit that we have that depression and move through it. Acceptance is the next piece. We're holding on that we engage in the reality of life, coming to terms with and finding how do we move on. We can do that. As Lillian said, Zephaniah faced a very similar situation. Paul was facing a very similar situation. Jesus was. They made it. So can we. And this isn't a linear, you know, straight way to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's a thing we flip back and forth on. It's a piece maybe we skip over pieces. But that's part of happy are those who mourn. And accept that we're mourning that we don't have justice. That's a healthy thing. Happy are the meek, the humble. Humility is a revolutionary thing, is a force for peace. The meek seek that everyone can come together by respecting the gifts of others, the planes. And it's not done by force. Every time I tell Patty she has to love me, you think, how do you think that works? It doesn't. We need to be a free giving and back and forth and taking. It's that flow and seeing the giftedness of each other. Happy are those who hunger and thirst for justice. We got to crave justice. We're going to get that craving for it that drives every part of our life, that we can begin to see where justice is missing and we crave it and hunger it and speak for it and reach out for it. We need to train ourselves to seek that common good of all. Happy the merciful. I got to practice radical forgiveness. I got to forgive people who maybe don't see it the way I see it. I need to seek to understand that violence that causes the division. I need to seek and understand that The power to change is really the power of love. And that's what changes the world. I mean, take a look at what Jesus did. What was Mahatma Gandhi's teaching? See, it's not just a Catholic Christian thing. It's across the board. It's boundaries don't mean anything. MLK said, we need to be nonviolent in tongue, fist, and heart. Heart's the hardest thing, I think. It calls us to understand that there are causes for pain and suffering, and we need to reach out. We want to stop the drug trade here in the United States. Maybe we need to find and take a look at what is the call for it. Why are people suffering that they need to take it? Why is poverty sometimes the driver of the drug trade? Because it's so liquid. And we're meeting with that. Instead of stop that, let's stop the call of it need here. It's a different way of looking at it. Why does the United States have twice as many people in our prisons, and yet China has twice as many people as we have? Something we have to take a look at. And not deny that it's there, but say, what can we do? What does it say? Happy are the pure in heart. Purity in heart means doing the right thing, the next right thing. It's about especially that we need to see that our public life ensures action for the common good and not for personal gain. Happy are the peacemakers. Refuse to have force is an instrument of God. Peacemakers refuse to allow that to rule their lives. They bring holy protection to every single person and to our planet. Happy are you when you're persecuted for justice's sake. Defining justice and protecting humanity and the oppressed, no matter what the opposition, we need to stand up and grow with that. You know, you listen to those first two readings, and they both speak about it. Seek the Lord, all you humble of the earth. You who have observed God's law of love. Seek justice in humility. I will leave you as a remnant, a people humble and lowly, who will take refuge in the Lord, and you shall become one with God. Paul says a similar thing. Consider your own calling, brothers and sisters. Not many of you are wise by standards, he goes on. All of us together is what makes a difference. When I touch one person, that's all it has to be. You know, will all this come about in my lifetime, in your lifetime? I doubt it. But that's not why we do it. You see, we're standing on other people's shoulders who stood before us. We stand on other people who stood for LGBT rights, and we still continue to stand on their shoulders today. We stand on people who stood for racial rights and equity. We stood on people's shoulders who stood for diversity, equity, and inclusion. And we, when it's others, will need to stand on our shoulders. And that's where we grow to be. One person at a time, awakening, and then passing it on. Live the good news, my brothers and sisters, because that's what we're called to do. Janie, would you read this at this time? And then we'll go into the comments.
A poem by George Byron Koch, and it's called Mutual Care. I have lived many lives in one. I have tried to love this place, its people, leave it in a kinder than I thought it was. We are one big peculiar family sharing a meal. But no one should take extra until everyone has enough. Mutual care is the wisest way to live together. We have abundance. We should share it. There are dangers. We should protect each other. Beyond that, I do not care what you believe or do unless it leads to harm. Sentiments, creeds, philosophies are not love. Mutual care is love. Persist in it. People of God, hear what the Spirit is saying.
And we open it now for anyone's comments.